It is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, and brings over 40 years of experience to these subjects and other subjects. And we welcome him here, of course, on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, and you as well, Jill.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
So I want to start off with something, Jim. First, I'm going to take your lead away from you for a second. I don't know if you watched TV last night at all, but I saw probably the lowest point in mainstream media that I've ever seen, where a man goes on the air on every single network, one after the other, and unravels in front of our faces, and the networks allowed this man, whether you agree with his politics or not, they allowed this man to totally unravel and humiliate himself in front of millions of people. He was on every network, Jim. It was a sad thing to see.
I did see it. I saw it a number of times, and it was very sad. And censorship is not something I think any of us really go for. But there is a point of good taste.
Yeah,
well, that's censorship. That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Censorship is not about. It's like if I am melting down, and people who know me know that I do have that capacity. You're putting it on TV because.
You know, Jim. By the second interview that he did, network producers should have been aware that. Maybe some of what he had to say is true and stuff, but he was unraveling in front of our eyes. And what I worry about is the following. I don't remember if you showed that put the guy on who was released that he was because he was a homosexual and he loved this guy, and the guy rejected him, and 3 weeks later the guy killed himself because of the embarrassment that he was put on TV. I fear for this man's life because of what he did. I fear that, you know, with all the pressure that he's got, the mainstream media has. I know they the need for the story is great. The need to compete with other networks is great, but sooner or later, Jim, someone's got to get a hold of the reins and say, "All right, enough is enough."
Let's grow up a little bit here.
This man needs to be. I mean, his family called TV. His family called networks, and it didn't matter. They kept putting him on.
Well, I totally agree with you. I don't understand why once wasn't enough. We saw it. Get over it. It's very tough and difficult, but to repeat it over and over. To the detriment of this man, but to the audience as well. I mean, we have enough to be concerned about without watching a person, as you said, unraveling and in retrospect humiliating himself.
How many people could stand up to the pressure of having to go, I'm sorry, to the special prosecutor, and then the special prosecutor, after you spent probably 8 to 10 hours, then is going to subpoena you again, and you've got to bring all these records in.
We know how bad it is when we, you know, Marshall doesn't love numbers and papers, and when he has to do the grant stuff for our, it's
unnerving.
Never mind, you're
given immunity, and now. You know, even though you're given an immunity, I can't imagine the pressure of these people. And like I said, I'm not letting anybody go. I'm not giving anybody a free ride. Our system has to work. This is not a political thing. This is a human being thing. The pressures that you – when I went for an audit once, Jim, by the IRS years ago, I was petrified, absolutely petrified and torn apart. And it worked out okay. It was a six-hour ordeal, but the person that I had from the IRS years ago was a terrific person. But I know how I felt going into that audit. I can't imagine anybody how they feel going into the special prosecutor's office. I don't care how politically emboldened they are. It's a whole different thing.
But there's also another thing. I just really want to – you know how parents are supposed to – you're not allowed to serve alcohol. Men Marshall, you can get the law better than I. But if you've got a bunch of teens and they're in your house
– Yeah, it's your responsibility to make sure they don't drink and drive. Yeah.
Period.
And that should have been the network responsibility.
So how is it possible that after the first show he was on – I mean, even the line producer, I'm not even talking about the head of the network, you know what, guys, we're going to skip this.
It was enough. Well, anyways, Jim, I'm sorry to take the first portion of your show, but I just
No, I think it's a very important point, actually. There's so much going on. That said, hopefully people will come around to thinking this thing out as you have, in terms of recognizing that the media is very significant, obviously, to our culture. And it must, in its own way, discipline itself so it continues to become certainly informative, but positive. What we saw was not informative. Over and over and over, somebody banging their head against the wall is not informative. That said, okay, in terms of communication, media, new things, it was quite distressing to see this Facebook. They put out these questions to people. Well, I'm not even going to repeat what the questions are, but absolutely incredible. Yeah. This is a $1 billion business. They let something like that go out, disturbing all kinds of people. And more, the Facebook should be regulated. They couldn't handle the Russian bots. They goofed on it a number of times. They didn't take it realistically. And now we're having this dust up.
I think you just used a very important word that I think that people really need to get their, as they used to say, arms around, which is, it's a business. It's a business, guys. And yeah, it was great when it was a startup and everyone was like, yeah, let's post pictures of our pets and our grandkids. But it has turned into a behemoth. And I go back to something that Michael Bloomberg said ages ago when they were talking about the election, the troll farms, my favorite term. And he was basically, I don't care how many humans you have to put on there to weed through this content. You got to do it.
Well, it's
that's right.
What's interesting,
then,
you know,
then do it. You've been given the right. You've been given the right to broadcast. Honor the right by spending the time and the money to make sure you get it right.
You know what it reminds me of?
These damn things are too influential not to be monitored. I'm sorry, Mark.
It reminds me. I don't know if you remember in the 70s, the CB craze, when everybody got a hold of a CB radio.
That's right. Good buddy.
And they were just doing incredibly... As a broadcaster, it was offensive to me because they were taking airspace and just doing it, going crazy with it. And eventually, thank God, there was a crackdown on it. That's what happened to the internet. I mean, since I took about 500 people off my list on Facebook, my personal page, I'm much happier. I don't see all these these memes, these people who think they're political commentators or they think that they're passing along real news. I don't see that anymore. There's a couple that get through every now and then, but it's a much better experience. But you know what? I shouldn't have to do that. I should be able to open myself up on the internet like it was originally imagined and take in real information from as many sources as possible. Real information. And we're denied that dream that the internet was.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, it is, you will never get, it's like having a contaminated water supply. You'll never get the stuff out of there. And again, this is a personal note. I have always been fascinated by disinformation and propaganda, always. It's just a side interest. This has occurred on such a wide scale that sadly people don't even know anymore that the information that they're getting is contaminated.
It's not a question, Jim, that they don't know. I think it's a question that, and here's the sad part, they don't care.
They don't care. They're looking for the little thrill of putting something out that's going to irritate somebody, engage them in conversation, all of which is worthless. But back to what Jill said, it is a business. And therefore, it must be regulated, and you cannot be putting out unknowingly, and it is knowingly, propaganda and stuff that gets people upset or gives them the wrong direction in terms of what we're trying to do with this country. We're trying to be free, free as individuals, free as states and cities. The point is we cannot inhibit ourselves always having to question everything that comes out, the truth, whether it's false, whether there's any background for it. It is a major challenge, a major challenge.
I just don't know how they're going to do it because this atmosphere is so politically charged. If the government tries to regulate Facebook, you'll get people on both sides that once again, people that did this with me, Jim, when I asked people to stop posting things on my page.
Right.
And you know what? I was told by a lot of people, you're censoring me. That's not fair. I said, well, I'm not censoring you. I wouldn't let you in my house to post the stuff on my walls. Why would I let you post it on my property? It's not a question of censorship.
Remember,
it's a question of decency. With decency and what's right.
And I'm just Marshall, Jim, you can't see me, but I'm holding up an envelope. You know, again, remember people yammering on about freedom of speech, freedom of speech. It's like, right. I'm free to, I remember my brother yelling, I'm free to say anything I want. It's like, within reason. You can say it, but then you got to see what happens.
The whole thing with a soapbox, we used to be able to stand on a soapbox. Anybody could stand on a soapbox in the corner and talk. Yeah, people could see you and know who you were, and they knew how valid you are. Now that's not the case, Jim.
Right. Speaker's Corner. You literally stood on a soapbox. It's still there, Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, and people still speak. But you could see – that's also, Marshall, good and interesting point just in terms of culture. You got to be able to look not at a screen, but actually look. This is why you actually should go to lectures and hear people and hear what they have to say.
Your point is an excellent one, Marshall, in terms of the soapbox on the corner. People can see you. People can sense whether you're lying, making it up, putting them down or whatever. The internet prevents that. And the net result is we have this thing that is creating divisiveness in this country because more and more, you look at this thing, and everybody's got an opinion. Now, that's one thing. If we could enter into honest dialogue and say, all right, you have a point, let's chat about it. That doesn't apparently happen too much on the internet. And that is very, very dangerous. We cannot allow ourselves to go into the negative. We've got to at least be in neutral, looking for the positive.
It's a real strange situation, and it's a disappointing situation. But it's one we have to deal with, and people just have to learn to sort it out for themselves until we can get control of it. It's not only Facebook; it's Twitter. It's all of them.
Well, it's everything. It's like it's the hit and run business. You know, something gets put out, and responsibility is not taken. It's out and floating around, and then whoever did it just goes on to the next thing.
Yeah,
that does not create a culture that I think most people would prefer to live in.
No, not at all. So, well, what else do you want to get across here then, now that we've really managed to take a portion of your sugar?
Well, I think, frankly, this has been a very important time that we're spending on this thing. We've got to talk more and more about this to make ourselves more aware and more conscious of what we are doing and what other people are doing. And, I mean, we've had a danger already with still in process, this Russian bot situation. But we got to wake up to that and do something about it. Let me switch to something that is rather good news. Hopefully it'll stick and stay good news. The North Koreans, as you've seen probably, have decided, they met a very serious meeting with the South Koreans, and 4 hours, and wives were present and everything else. And they're willing, apparently, to give up X amount of nuclear for guarantee. Now, it's very premature. But the point is that there is a beginning, a meeting. We're not stuck in third gear, so to speak. It's very important. Now, the markets in Asia moved up very dramatically overnight. And the reason they did, it is very, very positive for Asia. It's positive for the world, obviously. But for Asia, you have Japan, China, who are under the gun with a nuclear power that might not be too steady. They come into the fold. I can see where, and again, I'm an optimist by nature, and this thing takes time. But I can see where, if they can put it together, not get the country back totally together immediately, but work peacefully towards things. The Chinese can come in, and the Japanese as well, and the South Koreans, and begin investing in North Korea to get these people out of the poverty they're in. And the old thing, you know, economics is so important to peace. And when people have a job and they can eat and so forth, they tend to be peaceful. So I think that's very bullish for Asia. It's bullish for the world. The stock market itself here in the United States, as you've probably seen, has been really going crazy on the downside, the upside, so forth. I think the market yesterday was a little bit premature in thinking that everything's okay regarding these tariffs. These tariffs, folks, if they get put into place, they will, one, increase inflation for the people who, for instance, your Diet Coke or whatever, it's going to go up a few pennies. The little guy, once again, get hurt with tariffs, both here and abroad. Where it goes, I don't know. We have a very discordant White House. I'm amazed that people aren't even more concerned than I do hear or see. To just come out and say we're going to do tariffs without consulting with the people who you're working with is very irresponsible.
It's funny that you say that. I got into a 20-minute argument with my brother last night on the phone. At the end, we were both laughing because he's so entrenched supporting Donald Trump, and I'm so entrenched not supporting Donald Trump. But we could laugh about it after we had our discussion. He said it's a great negotiating tactic, and I said it would be a great negotiating tactic to threaten a tariff war, but you've got to do it by taking like Canada and some of your trade friends that have been your friends forever. And you've got to figure out a way to put, if you're going to put tariffs on, to propose it so that it doesn't hurt your friends and it doesn't hurt the American public in the long run. And to try to tie it in with all these trade treaties that are is the wrong way to do it. There's a right way to negotiate with a club, and there's a wrong way. And this is, to me, it was the wrong way.
Well, diplomacy. That's the word, diplomacy. That's why we have executives in our government. But when we have a Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, sitting on $120 million, which is allocated to the State Department to prevent further Russian interference on our elections, we got a problem.
And we don't have 50% of the diplomatic positions are unfilled. 50% are unfilled. Not filled with anybody.
Very dangerous proposition, because information is the keynote when you're trying to figure out how you're going to work in the world, deal with your allies, deal with those who might not be allies. If you don't have the information, you tend to freeze and don't do anything, or unfortunately make mistakes. And this is not a time and place in the world where we can afford to make any mistakes. Or some mistakes on this level. This is why I'm very concerned about our markets here in the United States, to the point where I've been contemplating conceivably to people who have a lot of money, recommending that they begin to take some of that money and put them in German marks or Swiss francs, maybe even a little Chinese yuan, because the dollar has been under siege for a good reason. People throughout the world are losing confidence in us. Our life, our daily life is financed by the Chinese and the Japanese who buy our bonds. There is such an incredible danger here in this tariff thing, because the Chinese are, thankfully, very wise in their approach to allies and so forth. But they could really put a crimp in our economy if they stop buying our bonds. And there's no, they don't have to buy our bonds. They already have $1 trillion worth of bonds. So the circumstance here dictates that people in their investing be very, very concerned. And if you feel like, gee, I'm pushing the scare button, I'm talking about an individual, push it. Push it. This is something we have never seen in an American presidency, which is why it's wonderful. There's a fellow named John Meacham. He's a great modern historian.
He is. I love watching Meacham. I could watch him for hours.
Remember when he worked at Newsweek?
Yeah.
Remember when Newsweek was a, you know.
I could watch him for hours.
Yeah. He's fantastic. He's fantastic. And he does in the thing I saw recently. He was on Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Give you some hope that, you know, we'll get through this. But he is not putting aside the tremendous dangers we're in, because we're in uncharted waters with people who apparently either don't know what they're doing or don't care to know what they're doing.
And I want to just skip for 1 second. Where
we
go.
We only have about a minute and a half left.
Right. And so I'm going to just look at, because this is the cover of this week's Economist, which is, and the whole page is what the West got wrong. And it's about China. And it says, this is the leader, what the West got wrong. It bet that China would head towards democracy and the market economy. The gamble has failed, at least according to them, because of what happened with the Chinese president. So that's something that has to be taken into consideration, just in terms of world view. Whether or not one agrees. You know,
and you have 30 seconds to comment on that,
no,
Jim.
Comment is simple. Comment is simple. I hope he was joking. But President Trump said, gee, maybe I'll be a president for life.
Yeah.
This is dangerous stuff, folks. Presidents are not supposed to be joking about those kind of things. Bottom line, we're going to get through this. We always have. We always will. I think we've got to put our nose a little more to the grindstone and things like the Facebook and the information.
All right. And
take
Jim,
care of your kids.
Jim,
love you. God bless you.
Okay, Jim, what? I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to invest, but I'm going to invest in Johnny Walker Black.
Hey, save a little for me.
Okay, take care.
I'll see you. Goodbye. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.